So many passages in Scripture that draw together grace, love, and the Holy Spirit. But that's one of the passages that I think that does it most effectively. There's a danger in the church today that we start to break down things like the Word and the Spirit and all the rest of it. We need to understand the cohesion, the whole Trinitarian basis of these three things coming together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That passage lays out so clearly the love of God shown in the grace of Jesus Christ, the need of Jesus Christ to come and to die in our place. And through that, we get an understanding of God's love. But again and again through that passage, as Eleanor read, the word that kept ringing in my ears was by the Spirit. And if we have one great weakness today, it is our failure to understand that we do things not in our own strength, but in God's strength through the power of His Holy Spirit. Now, we've looked at this passage on the grace over the last few weeks, and we've broken it down into three parts. But it's important that this morning we draw it all together as we consider it as a single unit. And I'm going to break this down through the service this morning into three small bites for us to take in. And the first is that the grace tells us, assures us of our Christian faith in its essence. It lays before us Christianity. I often say to you that Ephesians 2, 1 to 10 is the gospel in 10 verses. But if you want the gospel in one verse, it's the grace. The words of the grace provide us with a wonderful and a very, very simple summary of what the Christian faith is all about. Because those words remind us that the doctrine of the Trinity is the foundation of all that God has revealed to us and all that we believe. It's a prayer, and so we pray to God alone, but each person of the Trinity is implied within it. We address the Lord Jesus Christ for His grace. We address the Father for His love. We address the Holy Spirit for His fellowship. They remind us that Christian faith is all about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ by which we are saved. And it's all about the love of God to which we need to respond. It's all about the experience day by day of the fellowship with the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives. Not on a Sunday morning when we get a fix, not when we have a Bible study and we get a spiritual high, but on a day-to-day basis, in everything we do, the Spirit is drawing us into fellowship with the Son and the Father. We know that when we consider the sequence of the grace, because this order is the true experience of many of us. It's not something that's always followed experientially. And by that, I mean, not everybody at first understands it in this way. But I know very few people who, when they reflect on their salvation, would not agree that it is the reality of what has actually taken place. See, our discovery of God begins with the discovery of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we're drawn to seek to try and understand God, to wrestle with the question of God, we come to realize that nothing can give us a relationship with God. Nothing can save us but grace. And it follows from that seamlessly that once we discover grace, we are struck by the fullness of God's love. That God could love us. You know, when I was converted, I was angry with God. I was frustrated with God. I was almost hating God because my son had died. And in that position, I was brought to realize that even though I was cursing God and hating God because of the death of my little son, He loved me enough to give His son for me. And that's the fullness of love that we start to understand. And as we accept the grace of Christ and we know and live and trust in the love of the Father, we find ourselves knowing the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And the realization that you and I, regardless of who we were, in Christ Jesus can have fellowship with our God. Do you know, people like name dropping, people like letting you know all the important people they know in their lives and who they've met. Friends, you have the privilege this morning of knowing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are obsessed with celebrity today. There's no such thing as celebrity in the Godhead. The God that we worship is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. The one who spoke and the world came into being out of nothing. Creation from nothing. The thing that causes so many people difficulty. That's only because we can't comprehend the greatness and the vastness of our God. And I've still never met an evolutionist who could explain to me how these two atoms or whatever it was that collided came into being in the first place. They have to draw a line somewhere. But our Bible tells us the answer to that. From nothing our God spoke and it came into being. And it's wrong when we play with this order that is laid before us in the grace. It's wrong when we seek to focus on one aspect of the Trinity to the neglect of the other two, because all three are woven together as one God. And that's a perfect point for us to pause and come together around the Lord's table. But before we do that, we're going to stand and we're going to sing "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." We've just partaken of one great mystery, the Lord's Supper. It neither saves us nor keeps us. Both of those, praise his name, are in the hands of God. But we receive grace in this meal, most certainly. And it feeds us and sustains us spiritually. And I really want you to try not to see this meal as a mere memorial, as many would reduce it to. Not just something we do by habit in obedience, but something we do with joy and humility to receive from God a reminder of the measure of his love for us. Derek Prime reminds us as we look at the grace that we stand on holy ground as we consider the great mystery that it is. Our salvation is a Trinitarian salvation. God the Father is revealed as the one who initiates all things, who chooses a people to save and his Son to save them. And that way of salvation is completely consistent with his holy character. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." And God the Son perfectly reflects and embodies himself in the Father's nature and mind, and came forth from the Father to do his will. Now, we have lots of little ones here this morning. And one of the things we notice about our children is when they reflect us. And it's hard sometimes for us, isn't it? Particularly when our children inherit our... Debbie, please don't smile at me like that. when our children inherit some of those characteristics that we would probably rather they didn't. And I've confessed to you before, there's times when in rebuking or trying to chastise my children, I could almost be telling myself off. Children reflect their parents, their father, in many ways. The Son of God reflects his Father perfectly. Here's what we're told in Philippians 2, verse 5 following. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. And God's Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son as their executive, if you like, conveying to God's chosen people the salvation which God the Son has secured for them. And this itself only through the love of God the Father. The triune God, united in plan, purpose, and practice to save and love the unlovely sinners like you and I, and to bring us into fellowship with our God. Amazing grace, boundless love, sweet, sweet fellowship. And that's an appropriate point, maybe, for us to pause and bring our offering to God this morning. Thank you. Look at that one. What do you do when you're afraid? You're not a what? Can you get that pitch, Frank? Just a little. We get that sound in our house when there's a spider around. Normally in triplicate. Yeah, and don't go fishing anywhere near Midhurst, guys, okay? They got sharks in the rivers over there. Oh, dear. Back to the grace. I just want to wrap it up with our third point. The grace is for our benefit, and the grace is for our blessing. Now, as we've looked at this and meditated upon it over the last few weeks, I trust that the truth that the ministry of the Holy Spirit today is so essential and so important. He it is that reveals our need of the grace of Christ. And he it is that introduces us to the love of the Father. He convicts us and draws us to repentance and into fellowship with God. And in that reading that Eleanor brought us earlier, we are sons and heirs with Christ. Now, just pause and consider that for a moment. You may feel in your life you have little, you have nothing. But if you're in Christ this morning, you are an heir to the God of gods and the Lord of lords. The Spirit comforts us in our needs and our struggles. The Spirit teaches us from the Word of God. The Spirit gives us assurance in hours of doubt and darkness. He convicts us of our ongoing weaknesses and sin. And in so doing, he protects and guards our fellowship with the Father and the Son. We're not being convicted to nitpick. We're being convicted in order that our fellowship, our relationship with God, will be protected. It's the Spirit that applies the Father's forgiveness in our hearts. Again, from our reading, it's the Spirit that gives us that assurance that we get yet more grace, because the grace of Christ is all sufficient, not only to save, but to keep us. And I just want to say a word of encouragement today if you're struggling in any aspect of your life. We often talk about your walk with the Lord, but this is about God applying his love to every aspect of our lives. So if you're struggling with the whole idea of going back to uni, or going for the first time, or our little ones going to school for the first time, or changing classes and a whole new environment, maybe us in the workplace, not certain about your job, not certain about your future, I want to give you some advice this morning. Surrender to the Spirit of God. Listen to his loving prompting and pleading on your behalf. Obey in faith and don't grieve the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is there permanently within us. And it is us that can hinder the movement of the Spirit within us. And here's the truth of all of this. Without the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be dead in our transgressions and sins. There's no other source of grace. There is no other substitute for His grace. Without the love of God, we would have no salvation, because we would have no Savior and would be remaining in a state of perpetual enmity with God. Without the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we would have no experience of God's love, no access to Christ's grace. This trilogy of blessings sets before us benefits that God wants to give us day by day, moment by moment, gifts that we are to celebrate and enjoy. We as believers are living under the smile of God. And may we be conscious of that. May we be aware of that. May we draw on that truth in our moments of need. Let's pray. And you know, every time we pray this prayer, we should strive to enter into the fullness of it. We cannot pray for greater blessings than those expressed in this prayer. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Words which become very familiar to us, but I want us to consider them in a fresh way each time we say them. John Newton is famous for his hymn Amazing Grace, but he composed another hymn based on this prayer. And as we bow our heads now, let me just read a couple of verses. May the grace of Christ our Saviour and the Father's boundless love, with the Holy Spirit's favour, rest upon us from above. Then may we abide in union with each other and the Lord, and possess in sweet communion joys which earth cannot afford. Father, would you meet with each one of us this morning? Those of us that know you, remind us daily and often of the means of our salvation, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are struggling to find you, Lord, reveal the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make us ever more conscious, Lord, of your boundless love. We can never know your love completely. We can never grasp your love. We can never hold your love in all its fullness, Lord. In our moments of weakness and frailty, help us to remember that. And, O Lord, fill us afresh with your Spirit. Give us a heart that longs to be obedient as the Spirit leads us and guides us and prompts us, as he encourages and convicts, as he brings us into fellowship with you and the Son. May our fellowship with you, our daily walk with you, be enhanced, enlivened, restored, and fulfilled, that we would glorify you in all we do, in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our closing.